We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
John, I'd like to start by asking you about the passage earlier this session of the governor's roadworks truck toll legislation. As we know, the governor rolled this out last year. It's been subject to a lot of discussion. But it, in terms of the final passage, it all went down in under a week in the legislature. And critics said that was not really too kosher from a good government perspective. Do you agree?
To a degree, not completely. Certainly, it came out last year, probably too late in the session, which is one of the problems for it politically. It was very wrong, I think, for the chair of the House Finance Committee to cut Representative Morgan off so abruptly when she had some legitimate questions about the proposal. I mean, we all knew how she was going to vote. That said, you know, I think the governor made this case about urgency and the legislature acted. So I can't blame them for not having endless debate, but it wasn't perfect, but it wasn't the worst I've seen.
To switch gears before we go to Scott, the State Board of Elections, the director there, Robert Kando, has been in the news a lot for a series of issues. Most recently, he was suspended for not taking some mandated management classes. A lot of people wonder why he has such a hold on the leadership there and why he has not been further disciplined or perhaps fired. What is your thinking on that?
So one of the things I do in my role as watchdog is I go to certain public bodies and try to go to all their meetings, and I do go to the Board of Elections meetings. What you don't get is that there's this dynamic occurring. These are seven people who have to make a decision about the fate of their executive director, and they're not in agreement, and they're openly fighting. They're yelling at each other in an open public meeting. And it's become more about the ability of those who want to get rid of Mr. Kando, their ability to whip votes among the seven to get rid of him and their inability to do that, than it has in some ways about his performance.
And some people would question whether Kando has powerful political protectors. Is that part of the equation?
So, you know, I guess that, and it was before my time, that came up when he was hired a decade ago, that maybe those folks aren't around anymore. I don't have much insight into that. I think really it's become a problem where you have seven independent, essentially board directors who aren't being led by a strong chair in a direction that's positive and going to lead to some positive outcome, either rehabilitation or termination.
Let's go to Scott.
Common Cause has long been interested in voting issues and equal voting. And I'm wondering, is the voter ID law, should we scuttle that?
So, yeah, we support as an organization getting rid of it. We opposed it in the first place. We have spent quite a bit of time sending volunteers at the polls to look at its effect and still support getting rid of it based on a little of what we've seen. The problem with the voter ID law is it's hard to prove for both sides, right? So our opponents say there's this widespread fraud. There's no evidence of it. Our side, quite frankly, says there's widespread disenfranchisement, which there may be, but it's almost impossible to measure because there's so much noise in the equation that's predicting how voters turn out. We did see big problems with a much, much more restrictive law this week in Wisconsin. Marquette University, there were endless lines for people who were casting provisional ballots because they didn't have the proper ID. It's a much bigger problem in states like Texas where you can show a gun permit but not a student ID than it is in Rhode Island. So we do have some perspective in that sense.
The state Senate passed a bill earlier this session requiring residents to trim back their trees and shrubbery, and the House passed a bill calling for dogs to be permitted at restaurants with outdoor seating. Do you see these kind of bills as kind of benign outliers, or do they show us that the legislature really does not have its priorities in order?
So you can't legislate common sense, right? This old saying goes, and I think every session we see something. It's calamari as the state appetizer. It's dogs at outdoor dining. We elect people to go up there, and they put this stuff in. If you don't like what they put in, you got to vote against them. And some of the stuff is ridiculous.
Do you have a solution to a problem that looks like it's been going on for many, many years? We have political people in this state who have back fines that they haven't paid on their campaign violations, and yet they still are allowed to run for office. What's the solution to this?
So there's actually a piece of legislation. There's been a bill that's been kicking around for years, and there have been questions about its constitutionality that would essentially prevent you from running for office if you a certain amount in back fines. We worked with the Board of Elections and some D.C.-based lawyers to tune that up. And it's my understanding the board's going to put in an amendment to that bill, and it would create some due process for these people who are accused of this. But ultimately, it would allow the board to go before a judge and not allow them to file nominating papers, which we think is a necessary step.
We're talking here with John Marion of the Good Government Group Common Cause. And John, you used a Providence Journal essay earlier this year to highlight the power of the speakership in Rhode Island. You pointed out how this is due to the state constitution, our state laws, and the House rules. That seems a pretty big lift for a small group of concerned citizens to do anything about it. So is there any realistic hope for increasing the power of rank and file lawmakers, diffusing it away from the speaker?
So, you know, in some ways that op-ed was not directed at the citizens of Rhode Island. It was directed at our duly elected representatives. Every 2 years, coming up again next January, they pass their own rules. And slowly, over time, they cede more and more power to both the speaker or in the Senate president. And they don't necessarily have to. And we're just trying to elevate the issue so that they're aware. And I actually had a state rep come up to me last night and ask some questions about that, because we're trying to sort of bring some consciousness that there are other ways of doing it. There are non-traditional Rhode Island ways that other states do it that empower the rank and file to have a little more say in the process.
Isn't the speaker very strong in every state?
So the speaker tends to be strong in every state, but it does vary. And so some very good political scientists have used different measures. One measure is they look actually at campaign contributions and the proportion of all contributions that go to the speaker. And in a state where the speaker's proportion is really high because they're the gatekeeper to all legislation, that's a measure of power. And guess who's the highest? Rhode Island. In other measures of strength, we're always the highest.
With a little more than a minute left, how would you evaluate Governor Raimondo in her time in office from a good government perspective?
So, you know, she hasn't fully embraced sort of our types of good government issues. She hasn't been championing, ethics reform or open government issues per se, the proposals we have. But to give her some credit, she's taking on some really, really difficult problems like at DCYF. I hope, at least we're hearing that. She inherited, it seems like, a bit of a mess at DOT, a bit of a mess at DCYF. My hope is that she's going to tackle some of these things and tackle some other things through some appointments. In the end, there are two paths to good government. There's our way, but there's also good people acting in good faith. And so hopefully her approach works, too.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And the executive director of the nonpartisan Good Government Group, Common Cause of Rhode Island, John Marion, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.